back to the beginning of Aspen Avionics with John Uzukai. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. Aspen Avionics, which didn't even exist 6 years ago, is marking this week's start of Heli Expo 2010 in Houston by announcing an STC for installation of its EFD-1000 primary flight display in the Bell 206 and 407 helicopters. That adds to a list that is now hundreds of aircraft long. I thought it might be interesting today to look back at a time when there were no aircraft on that list and listen to the clarity of the vision and the confidence in the future that prevailed even then at Aspen Avionics back in the fourth quarter of 2007. At the time, I had a long interview with John Uzukai, president and CEO of Aspen, and he was game to look forward not only to products in the pipeline at Aspen at the time, but well into the future. We'll bring you part of that interview today, beginning with the beginning.
Aspen Avionics was started by Jeff Bethel and Peter Lyons. It started out as the AT300 product, which was a vertical speed indicator replacement with some TAS availability on it.
Okay.
They came up with the concept of developing a low cost glass cockpit for the lower end of the market, and the key there was providing technology using latest technology, low cost technology, and keeping the prices in the affordable range for those aircraft. And they brought this concept to a bunch of venture capitalists, who at least one of our lead investors is a pilot himself, and it struck a nerve with them, and the market there was quite large. And these guys started off with the design of what now has become the Evolution Flight Display System.
Well, let me stop you right here, because the thing that strikes me as being different and unique about your product line, I mean, a lot of people try to bring advanced glass cockpit avionics to the low-end market, and I can think of a couple companies that are even doing it in the experimental market now. The thing that stands out when I look at your product line is the fact that you made it modular, and even down to its form factor, it can be purchased in pieces that gradually replace the old analog steam gauge six-pack.
Right, and in fact, the concept of the form factor is really what attracted several of our investors, because of the concept of the cost of installation. And what they did is they came up with ideas using low-cost electronics technology. For example, our AHARS unit is actually taken from the UAV market from a company that we have an agreement with called CloudCap, and we're able to bring very low-cost electronics items into it. The form factor itself is really kind of the whole ball. It allows you to replace your six-pack with little installation impact. But more importantly, it allows you to do one set of the six-pack at a time. So if somebody wants to get a glass cockpit in and have this ADI and HSI in first and wants to get that in, he can do that and still feel comfortable that as he grows with his airplane and wants to have multifunction display capabilities, he can then put that in the next six-pack. And that really is fundamentally the basic concept of what we're trying to do.
Now, you guys had a big, big time at Oshkosh. I saw the press release that said you did over $1.5 million in new orders for the Evolution flight display during the first week it was available for sale there. To what do you attribute this sudden surge?
Well, I think there's two things that are in play here. I think there is a market out there that's very hungry to get glass cockpits into that class of aircraft. Many of the pilots see all of the new airplanes that are coming off the lines with glass cockpits, and they see their airplanes with vacuum steam gauge type of instrumentation, and they worry about first, just the coolness factor of having a glass cockpit and the safety factor of having a glass cockpit, which is well documented in the industry. Secondarily, it's also a matter of economics. The aircraft that are out there are in fact losing value as more and more aircraft get out there with glass cockpits. And so in order to keep the value up of your airplane, you really need to upgrade to a glass cockpit environment to take advantage of all of the other aspects in terms of the market space. So I think those two factors are playing in into play. The third one that I like to mention, because I think that's evolving, is that as you have a glass cockpit in your airplane, it makes you more compatible with new technologies that may be coming out that may be forced upon an operator as the air traffic control system expands, because glass cockpits provide you flexibility for display of all kinds of different aspects of the new air traffic control system.
Well, and this is an interesting thing that's happening in some other fields of electronics, too. I know that in the world of two-way radio and in a lot of different kinds of industrial radio products, more and more they're being built as a very basic set of building blocks and hardware, and then what exactly the product is really defined in software. We're getting to a point now, I think, where if the FAA comes out with some new mandate years down the road, it might be as simple as, you know, sliding in a chip and uploading a new set of parameters, or downloading something from a website that makes your radio the new radio.
Yeah, I think you've hit it right on the nose. I think that's a big part of where our industry is going. I think the electronics and the software capabilities now that are available put us in a position now where somebody who installs a glass cockpit and needs to upgrade with some sort of functionality, whether it be ATC related, whether it be safety related, whether it be just a coolness related, that they're the current systems are capable of doing that. And I think that adds a lot of value to the end user, but also provides a lot of opportunities to us as manufacturers.
When we return with John Uzukai of Aspen Avionics, ADS-B, gadgets, and the future, I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're going to fly in the soup, you got to have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Platt. We're hearing an interview with John Uzukai of Aspen Avionics from October of 2007, back in the days leading up to the original certification of the EFD-1000. I asked about, and John was game to discuss, the future of avionics in general.
I'm going to get you a little off the track of products and Aspen-specific issues right now and get into the whole area of where we're going from a regulatory standpoint with the FAA and general aviation aircraft. Because I think as someone who has set out to serve a portion of the general aviation market that is concerned about cost, you might be the perfect person to ask this. ADS-B is supposedly coming down, probably having it mandated that we be completely away from this ground-based radar idea by the year 2020. One of the big concerns in general aviation is cost. Some of the products that look as though they're going to be available in ADS-B-compatible form literally cost as much as some of the aircraft into which people are considering putting them. Are you guys going to be in a position to be able to develop products that will fit this new regulatory environment that will still be cost effective for the small-time general aviation pilot?
Actually, I think that's exactly who we are all about. I read the same and look at the same and have the same concerns about the cost of ADS-B and the market space that we're at. I also have confidence in technology and in our industry. We have a tendency to be able to find ways to provide technologies at an affordable price for all levels of the aviation industry. And I would predict that this will be the exact same thing that will occur. We will clearly be a focused on that part of the market, and ADS-B will be a big part of our focus as we go forward, and we will find the technology to do that. Now, having said that, it's easier said than done, and in fact, we are all quite concerned about the cost of ADS-B and what that might do to the flying public that is our direct customer. But rest assured, I do have confidence in technology and our ability that we'll find ways to provide that functionality at an affordable rate. The question will be when, and the question will be who that does it.
You know, the ALPA did a survey which found that a majority of the respondents said that they would be happily willing to equip for ADS-B if it replaced the need for a Mode C or Mode S transponder. And when I saw that, I thought that's interesting because I know the airlines and the big guys, if anything, are less willing at this point to equip for ADS-B than the small guy. But the thing that jumped out at me is that there seems to be some notion out there that the price point for equipping ADS-B will be somewhere comparable to equipping with a transponder. Do you see that coming, or is that just fantasy land?
You know, it probably feels like fantasy land right now, but again, you know, the industry has amazing ways to be able to bring functionality to the different stages. So I would be saying way out of line if I understood or believed that was happening. But again, I have to tell you that I do have confidence that we'll find a technology way to make this affordable. We really have to do it, because if we don't, we're basically going to cut out a large part of the market space from flying above 10,000 feet, and that's just not a tenable situation for all of us.
This may be a question you haven't been asked before, but you may have thought about it. Is there anything that the avionics industry could do for pilots that has not been asked for yet? In other words, when you guys sit around with pencils and restaurant napkins, are there any ideas that have spilled out for the future of avionics that are ahead of what regulatory agencies are likely to be calling for?
Well, you know, it's a really good question. I think that's one of the fun things about avionics is that you can spend a lot of time thinking and dreaming about a lot of different things. Clearly, pilot workload is the conversation of many avionics companies over many, many years, with the thought of someday having voice recognition or some sort of ability to simplify the man-machine interface between the aircraft and the individual. And those are the things that a lot of us dream about, the day at which the avionics can anticipate and, in fact, react quickly to situations and help a pilot improve his situational awareness, voice recognition being one of them, more advanced display systems that are more intuitive. You've seen a lot of things on the high end with cursor control devices and more computer type of interfaces, and I think you're going to see those things bleed their way down into the lower end of the market as those become more acceptable and easier to use. So when we dream in the avionics world, we dream about making the pilot workload easier, safer, and more integrated in their traffic control environment, and all those things are things that we talk about.
You know, one of the things that's been fun to watch just over my lifetime in consumer electronics is that consumer electronics used to be generations behind what was in aircraft and military, you know, a lot of the government regulated stuff. Now it's to the point where consumer electronics has, if anything, leapfrogged the electronics devices we find in the regulated world, to the point where stuff you can buy, you know, at the corner electronics boutique now and carry around in your pocket has capabilities that are beyond what's being called for in aircraft. Is that just my perception, or do we see that technology just blossoming?
Yeah, I think you're saying exactly what is happening is exactly that. The big difference, of course, is that when you work in a certified environment, you have to be able to build something that is basically not going to fail and is not going to nothing's going to happen that could cause a situation where you would lose data or provide misleading data. A handheld device, a thing that you buy at the corner electronics store, doesn't have to meet those regulations, and therefore we will lag in what we can bring into the cockpit. But I think it's also safe to say that all these gadgets and all these things that you can buy at the electronics stores, at your corner electronics store or at a mall, are driving expectations into our market space, and we have to find ways to provide that level of newness, new functionality, ease of use, gadgetry, coolness into the cockpit too. As our constituency matures and people start coming up through the pilot ranks that are used to these things as a common day-to-day thing. So, I think what the system we have set up is a very good one in terms of regulation to provide safety. But I do also believe that many of these handheld devices are driving avionics producers or really anybody that supplies aircraft electronics to be able to match those kinds of ease of use and cool gadgetry.
John Uzakai is still the president and CEO of Aspen Avionics. Find out what the company is up to these days, or at least try to keep up, at aspenavionics.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.